chapter 15, verses 22 through 29. Romans chapter 15, verses 22 through 29. And this is what it says. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you. Once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When, therefore, I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you, and I know that when I come to you, I will come in fullness of the blessing of Christ. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as we look at the Apostle Paul's desire and plans to visit the church in Rome and understand his longing for them and the benefit that they can be to him in the ministry and the benefit that they can be to him in his own soul. I pray that you would allow us to understand some of the decisions that he is making and the process that he goes through, that it would guide us in our decisions, in our longing to follow you and to trust you and to do the things that you have guided us to do. All of this for your great praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Apostle Paul, we talked about last week, is longing to be with the Church of Rome, but he can't. He can't be with them because of the work that he is doing in the Jerusalem churches and in the churches surrounding that area. And so even though he wants to go be with them, and even though he thinks it'll be beneficial to go see them, he's not going. So we need to understand, this is how he starts, finishes verse 22. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. We need to understand that Paul's deficiency in not coming to Rome is not about desire. It's about the people and the work where he is at. Okay, so sometimes we need to recognize that sometimes people who really want to be with us, who really long to be a part of what we're doing, they can't, not because of a lack of desire, but because of the work that God has called them to. This would be an encouragement to some of you mothers and grandmothers and fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers who have the family gathering every year, and for some reason, not everyone can arrive. I promise you, speaking from my own heart, the reason for not being at these special family get-togethers is not usually because they're going, boy, I just don't want to see mom or grandma this weekend, all right? It's because God has placed some other things on their priority list, things that have to be done. And so they are choosing to do those things instead of being with you. That's where Paul is at. He wants to be in Rome. Rome, the church in Rome is a good church, and it's growing, and it's vibrant. And the issues that they are having as a church in Rome are not coming from a deficiency in their growth. They are growing, and they are dealing with the problems that come as a result of growing and not knowing what to do in getting along with one another as they grow. So some important things that we want to remember about ministry decision-making because of what the Apostle Paul has stated for us here. And we'll go through these briefly, but as you are thinking about how you will minister for the Lord, all right? So all believers here, how many of you long to be used of God in some way? Amen? Right? So we should all say, I want to be used of the Lord. I want him to use me. All right? So first thing I want you to understand is that there are usually things that there are usually things which need to be done without looking for more. Okay? So that means, we'll give you an example of my home. There are all kinds of projects that I would like to do in my house. And sometimes we come home and there are things that I would rather not do instead, but they have to be done, right? So came into the house this morning, and there were dishes left because we ate dinner and we went to bed. So dishes left, and the kids are supposed to be making mom breakfast in bed, and there are things that I want to do, but instead I ended up doing the dishes, right, which is something that I don't love to do. Is there anybody here who loves to do the dishes? If you, oh, see, I'm keeping note of all of those hands, right, because if you love to do the dishes, there might be something wrong with you. But whatever it is that's wrong with you, I'd like to use for my benefit, right? So, need to understand that in ministry, in the church, there are ministries that need to take place in the church that nobody wants to do. Do you recognize that? There are some, everybody wants to do the fun stuff, all right? Everybody wants to do the stuff, the banquet planning and all that stuff. They want to do the fun stuff, but sometimes there's stuff that has to be done that nobody wants to do, and quite frankly, nobody's going to notice whether you did them or not, and they still have to be done, right? And while I'm talking about that, Rick has just put together a list for mowing the lawn, which you will probably never get thanked for. Maybe you will. Maybe some of the ladies will go, man, I'm so glad somebody mowed the lawn, right? But it has to be done. So understand that we don't always have to look to, all right, I want to do something in the body of Christ. I want to serve the Lord in ministry. I have to come up with something new to do. There's always something that needs to be done, all right? So you don't necessarily have to come up with something new. The second thing you need to understand is there's always a need somewhere else, all right? I remember when Tracy and I were at Mount Lucan Bible Camp, and I was the... I think they gave me the title of program director. And what that meant was I was the maintenance man. So it was the facility. That's right. It was the facilities director. So I must have been doing a pretty good job, because there was another camp that wanted to hire us to come and be their facilities director, right? And it was a little bit appealing because Mount Lucan was just getting started as a camp. Like, we had 25 to 30 kids a week that were coming at the time. The camp that wanted us to come, they had hundreds of kids coming every week. And so it was appealing to go to that ministry and be their maintenance director, which they needed. And we're like, wow, we need to go there. They asked us, and there's a need. And we thought, why would we leave the need here to go there and fulfill the same need, right? So there's always a need somewhere else. Some of you ask me, you know, you go to these banquets and they ask you for money, and you say, well, they need money, so I got to give them money. And praise the Lord that you're thinking that way. But don't think that you have to give them money because they need it. Everybody needs money, all right? Everybody needs money. Everybody needs your volunteer help. Everybody needs you to be involved in ministry, all right? So there's always a need somewhere else that needs to be taken care of. We're never going to meet all of those needs, all right? The third thing that you need to understand in making these decisions is that the need never, and I capitalize that on purpose, the need never determines the call, okay? Before I came to Pekin Bible Church, there were three other churches that talked to us, and they all needed a pastor. They all needed a pastor. And they weren't the right place, all right? So the need never determines the call. There's always a need. There's a need for missionaries in Africa and in South Africa and in the Arctic and in Canada and in New York City and in Los Angeles and in Central Illinois, all right? That may not be what the Lord is calling you to, all right? So as Paul is recognizing that there is a need for him to go to Rome and spend some time with them, but he's been called to a work right there, and he needs to complete that work before he continues on to Rome. Does that make sense? All right? So some things to help you in your decision-making. I promise you that if God has not given you a gift for dealing with children, and you say, oh, yeah, but they need children's workers, I promise you that you're not going to do so well in children's work, all right? We do need people in children's work. We need people in children's work who God has given a gift for dealing with children, all right? For caring for them, for loving with them, for being able to deal with them running around the room and all those things, all right? So that make sure that as you're making these decisions, you're saying, all right, Lord, guide me and direct me according to the gifts that you have given me, all right? Does that make sense? All right. So that was my rabbit trail, purposeful rabbit trail, all right? Verse 23, but now since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while. So while writing this letter, so he knows that he has this ministry in Jerusalem that needs to take place, and while he's writing this letter, some things are starting to change for Paul. And what's changing? The things that are changing is, first of all, the work has come to a completion where he is, all right? So Paul says, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, that means the Apostle Paul is in the Jerusalem and surrounding areas, and he has gone to every corner of those areas to share the gospel, and he's saying, There's nowhere else for me to go here and share the gospel. All right, everyone has heard. All right, so now he's saying, now there's room for me. The work is completed. Now I can consider coming to Rome. All right, and there's an opening to visit with the Roman church that may become possible. All right, so important for us when we are not certain what the Lord has planned for us not to say, this is what the Lord would have me do. I'm going to go do this thing, and I'm going to do that thing, and at this date, I'm gonna end these things, right? We are warned in James not to make statements like that, right? But here, Paul says, he says, maybe on my way to Spain, I can stop and see you, right? And since I have longed for many years to come, right, so this opening is possible. He's going, I think I've wanted to be in Rome. Maybe I can squeeze this in, right? And on my trip here, maybe I can come to Rome for a little while. But when I'm there, that's what I like. He says, well, I hope to see you passing as I go to Spain. So Paul is hoping to stay with them for a short time so that they can minister to him financially. He's telling them that. He's saying, listen, I'm coming to see you, but the reason I'm coming to see you and to be helped on my journey there by you, all right? Now, this does not mean that he's coming there to the Roman church so that they can pray for his journey moving forward. That's not what he's talking about. This is a material, financial need. I need help to get the rest of the way along. I'm stopping for your material help, all right? So understand this. Paul is saying that it is important for the church to help those who are ministering to them. You understand that? What are they supposed to help him with? Are they supposed to help him with a bigger, better house and car and all these things? Is that what he's talking about? No, he's supposed to help them in the ministry. We're supposed to make it possible for them to do the things that God has called them to do, and that does involve a paycheck and a house and health insurance and all those things that individuals need. But he's saying, I need help so that I can do what God has called me to do. And we need to recognize that those who are involved in ministry need help to do the things that God has called them to do, all right? He also says, and once I have enjoyed your company for a while. So the second part is, sure, we need to help them financially, but we need to not be a burden for them when they come spiritually, right? They need to be able to come and go, oh, I love being with you, right? We were talking about Bill and Gloria Bagley. I saw Bill and Gloria at the RHMA convention a couple weeks ago, and Gloria came up and she gave me a big hug, and she said, she says, "Oh, my favorite Pekin pastor," right? It was very good that she emphasized Pekin there, because I'm sure they have lots of favorite pastors all over the country, right? But it's because they've said they enjoy coming to our church. They enjoy coming to Pekin Bible Church because when they come to Pekin Bible Church, they are refreshed by the things that you are saying to them and the way that you are encouraging them as missionaries. So Paul says, when I spend some time with you, I'm going to be encouraged. I know it. I know that my time with you is going to be a blessing. And so we want to make sure that when people who are coming to do ministry among us, that we are a blessing to them, right? Now that doesn't just mean missionaries. That means people in our church who are ministering, the people who are ministering to our children. We want to make sure that we are a blessing to them as they're ministering to our children. We say, "Hey, what is it that you need? Do you need anything from us? Is there anything, any way we can help?" Make sure that people who come and work to help clean and do all those things, that we are encouraging them by providing them with the things that they need to get the job done. It's an interesting thing that I learned from Encounter Revival Ministries while I was there is that it is a lot cheaper to buy the good materials and supplies for the volunteers to do the work than it is to hire somebody to come and provide their own materials and supplies, right? And the work is usually done much better with much love. Right? So we provide individuals with the things that they need to do the work that they need to do. Right? That's our, not only our financial responsibility, but that's our encouraging responsibility. Can you imagine being Rick and working in the church here? And if he came in, if you didn't know Rick Szymanski, he cleans the toilets and the vacuums all over the church and all those things. Can you imagine he came into work and he had to work with a vacuum cleaner that broke down every time he was trying to vacuum with it? That's no good. Right? We got to provide them with the things that they need to, that it will not only help them in the ministry, but that will encourage them also on their way. Then he says, at present, however, verse 25, at present, however, I'm going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints. So he says, before I can come to you, there's a job I have to do. And since let me tell you about this job. He's going to tell us about this job that he has to do to explain to us the things that we ought to be doing, right? So he says, I'm going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints for Macedonia and Achaia. I have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem, for they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them, for if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. So he says, I can't come until I complete this last task. This is a task I have. Jerusalem is, the Jerusalem church is in need of material aid. All right? So when I say material aid, what am I talking about? I'm talking about money. The ability to, or there's a famine going on in Jerusalem right now, so what else could it be? He might be carrying food to them, right? But they're in need of material aid. And the churches in Macedonia and Achaia are contributing to that aid, all right? This is mission work going on. All right, the churches over in Macedonia and Achaia, I say, hey, look, the church in Jerusalem is suffering. How do we react to a church that is suffering? We help them, right? So why does the church in Macedonia and Achaia feel a need to contribute to the aid of the church in Jerusalem? First of all, they recognize that there is something special about that church. They understand the debt of gratitude they should show toward the Jewish believers there. They understand that they owe Jewish believers something, all right? They understand that those Jewish believers are the reason that salvation has come to them, all right? And so they were joyful in giving to this need. So they're happy to give. Paul says they're happy to give it because they understand they owe a debt of gratitude. that they should show toward the Jewish believers. They understand that without Israel, there isn't salvation for anyone. You understand that? When we talk about the nation of Israel, and we talk about the care and concern that the body of Christ should have for the nation of Israel, it is in this, that God used them to bring the Christ to us. We owe them. So because of that, because they understood that, and they understood that without Israel, there isn't salvation for anyone, they give this thing joyful. They respond in to the spiritual gift they've been given. They give gladly financially because of that. So here's some things we need to think about when it comes to mission work, and you need to think about. I'll remind you, I want to remind you again, at Pekin Bible Church, missions giving is not part of the general giving of the church. It's a designated offering. You have to say, I want this much to go to missions, right? And so, just so you know, about 25% of what comes into this church goes out to the mission work, right? And so, that makes life really easy for me. When I give my giving to the church, I go, all right, what's 25% of that? That's going to missions, and 75% of that I'm going to give to the general fund. That's just how I mark the envelope, right? So why do I do that? So we don't just give to mission work because of an obligation set upon us. So I don't want you to give it to mission work because you go, well, that's what the pastor said I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to give to mission work. No, that's not why we go to give to mission work. We go to give to mission work because we understand that our salvation is directly related to someone else sacrificing so that the gospel would come to us. That's why we're involved in mission work. None of you are saved without a missionary going out to where the gospel would be received so it could be passed on to you. That's why I'm so interested in Peoria Rescue Ministries. I'm interested in Peoria Rescue Ministries because when my grandfather was 7 years old and he was a street kid in Kalamazoo, Michigan, he went into a rescue mission, and that rescue mission told him about Jesus Christ. And as a result of that rescue mission telling him about Jesus Christ, my whole family's gotten saved. So, guess what? I love Peoria Rescue Ministries because they are doing work that is close to the gospel coming to my family, right? So, you don't give the mission work going, oh, I got to do this because that's what I'm supposed to do. You give, you say, thank you, Lord, for the missionary who sent the gospel so that one day I would be saved. That's why we give. That's what Paul is saying is happening in Macedonia and Achaia. They're saying, praise the Lord for the church in Jerusalem, because as a result of them, salvation has come to all of us. In response to this spiritual gift that they've been given, they gladly give financially. They ought also be of service to them because of immaterial blessings. So those who minister to us spiritually, we're supposed to give to financially. We're supposed to encourage financially. So grateful for the gospel we have received, we give to those who are in need and doing the work of ministry. So we go, all right, there are individuals who are doing the work of ministry. I'm grateful for the gospel that has come into my life, and as a result of that, I'm going to give to the work of ministry. We give to those who are in need and once involved in the work of ministry. So we don't just give to those who have been ministering, who are ministering currently. We give to those individuals who are in need and ministered in the past, because we take care of them for the work that they did. And it is our responsibility to invest our material goods into those who have invested in us. You know, Jesus got pretty upset with the Pharisees one time because they were neglecting to care for their parents. Did you know that? That was one of the arguments that they got in trouble for. They would give to the temple, and they would withhold what they should have been giving to their parents. And they would say, well, look how much I give to the temple. And nobody knew that they weren't actually taking care of their parents. It's our responsibility to invest our material goods into those who have invested in us. We need to invest in pastors who have invested in us. We need to invest in missionaries who have invested in us. We need to invest in our parents who have invested in us. Do I have any parents saying amen? Amen? I was always jealous of, I've been jealous of Tracy's grandfather because he had four daughters. And I said, man, it must have been rough having four daughters. And he said, yeah, but that means I'm going to be taken care of when I'm old. He was already 80 years old, I think, when he told me that. But he said, sons, they just go off and do their own thing, but your daughter's going to take care of you. And I'm like, man, I only have one, right? It doesn't. Better treat her good. That's right. Amen. Some of you have grandparents that you need to be taking care of because they've invested in you. We need to invest in the widows who have invested in the life of the church and life of the children of the church and the life of their families if they don't have anybody to take care of them. Anyone who has been responsible for the change in our lives should experience the benefit of their spiritual investment materially when we have it to give. So if you have it to give, you think of those individuals who have benefited you spiritually and you go, are they being taken care of? Because if they're not being taken care of, it's your responsibility to do that, to take care of them. Verse 28. We find Paul, he says, when therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what was collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. In Paul's anticipation of completing these things. So Paul is saying, all right, the end is near. This is going to be finished soon. He's making plans. Now, if you talk to the guys who I spend close time with, this is the effect that this is the way I live. We're talking about this room. Some of you are talking about this room over here that we're working on, and we're diligently trying to get it done so that we can use it better for ministry here in the church. And we're excited about what it's going to look like and the missions work and stuff like that that we're going to be able to display in a better way as a result of it, and the room we'll have to fellowship with one another and all of those things. But in my mind, it's already done. There's something else that I'm thinking about that needs to be done next. Because we always have to continue working on the thing that God has for us, but we always need to be thinking about the next thing that God might have planned. So as you're ministering to individuals, you got to go. All right, I'm ministering to this individual now. Now, what's the next step in ministering to them? Where is it that we want to end up? There's always this continual. The God is working, and what's the next step? What's the next plan? What's the next thing that He has for us? Paul is doing this. Paul is anticipating this thing is going to be completed, and he's making plans. I'll leave for Spain by way of you. I'm coming. And this is what he's confident of. He's not confident of when he's going to be in Rome, all right? And so I'm trying to learn from this and not tell people when things are going to be done, all right? And not tell people when God is going to do what God is going to do. God can do things in His own time. That's what Paul is okay with here. But he's confident that God's going to do something. He's confident that he's going to end up in Rome. Do you know how Paul ends up in Rome? In prison, right? He ends up in Rome because they send him as a prisoner to Rome. He doesn't come on his own two feet. He gets sent to Rome. He gets sent to Rome as a prisoner. And they imprison him in a house. And then while he's in Rome, they decide that there's no reason for him to be punished, and so they let him keep the house. But he's not a prisoner there anymore. And he ministers there for years, able to go to and fro and do whatever it is that he wants to do. We need to be confident that with the task complete, along with Paul, he says, Paul is confident that with the task complete, he will have God's blessing in coming to see them. We need to be confident as we plan on the next thing that after we complete this thing, after we complete this work that God has for us to do, and right now we're working hard at teaching people how to study the Bible, and we're working hard at making preparations to teach our teenagers how to study the Bible, and we're working on this counseling ministry, and we're working on teaching people how to do evangelism, and I'm thinking about how we can take all of that and use that in a greater way for God's glory in Pekin. I have that in my, what's next, right? I know that we have to complete this task that God has given to us right now. Understand that. We have to be diligent in this. But know that this is just the beginning of what God is going to do in the future. And Paul says, I'm confident that once we've done the work that needs to be done here, God's got something more for us planned in the future. So as you're thinking about your life, as you're thinking about ministry, as you're thinking about the way that God may call and use you in the future, I'm asking you to say, Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do. But I'm confident that you're going to use the gifts that you have given me to complete those tasks. And I'm praying that you will be honored and glorified in my doing them. This is how Paul decides to begin the closing of his letter to the Romans. I'm coming to you. I don't know how, but when I come, I know that we are going to be able to minister to one another while I'm there. First, are we ready for God to use us? And are we ministering to one another while we are amongst the other believers in Christ?